Grace be unto you and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is written in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. We're going to read a translation by Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs. But when he had seen the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples approached him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them and say, "The poor in spirit are blessed, because the reign of heaven is theirs. The people who are mourning are blessed, because they will be comforted. The lowly are blessed, because they will inherit the earth. The people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness are blessed, because they will be satisfied. The merciful are blessed, because they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart are blessed, because they will see God. The peacemakers are blessed, because they will be called sons of God. The ones who are persecuted because of righteousness are blessed, because the reign of heaven is theirs. You are blessed whenever people insult you and persecute you, and by lying say every kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and exult, because reward is great in heaven, for in this way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So far the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, here we have Jesus' introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. Now we know he preached any number of sermons, and presumably, he preached the same thing at different times to different audiences to make sure that it reached all sorts of people. But here in Matthew's gospel, we have the fullest account of any of his sermons. And here in these Beatitudes, in these declarations of blessing, Jesus opens the door to this sermon for his disciples and for us. Gathered around him were crowds, as Matthew called them. But this sermon is directed particularly to the disciples, to believers. Even as he calls people out of the crowds from sin to repentance, from unbelief to faith, from their own sinfulness to Christ's righteousness, from sinner to saint. He starts out, you'll notice, talking about them and they, the poor, the mourning, the lowly. They are blessed. But then he changes to you. You, he says, because of me, are blessed when you are persecuted. You who believe in me and are on your way to heaven are blessed. You who are saints, who are persecuted, you are blessed. And so he continues addressing them as you, nearly to the end of the sermon. And he's talking to you also. Do you understand that there are blessings that you have because you are a saint, because you are a forgiven, repentant child of God? It's kind of like living in America. Do you ever stop to think about what blessings we have here? It gets to be where, no, I'm fully capable of complaining day after day. I forget the blessings. And so it's easy also for us to forget what it means to live now in faith, to live now as a child of God. And of course, the first blessing is that you've been given faith, and with it, the forgiveness of sins. But there's much more. Jesus makes all saints richly blessed. And for us to understand how Jesus blesses us as saints, we need to realize First of all, that you and I live in a world that needs Jesus, in a world that is spiritually empty, that is poor, that is poverty-stricken, that's without hope and without God in the world, as Paul puts it. Have any of you ever lived that way? So that you can look back and say, well, that was then, and this is now, and oh, what a difference. So many of us have never experienced that. But the fact is, we live in a world that is poor, spiritually speaking. Remember when John the Baptist inquired about whether Jesus was the coming one or not? Remember Jesus' answer? We just used it last week, but referred to it in the sermon. One of the indicators that he gave John is in Matthew 11. The poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. That, for starters, the gospel pours out the riches of the kingdom of God to a world that doesn't have it at all and needs it. The fundamental gift of Jesus Christ and of his reign, of his kingdom, is that he fills up our emptiness, and he fills up our poverty, and he gives us what we need in order to be truly blessed. He gives us what we need, but as we're born, don't have. Righteousness, forgiveness, harmony, reconciliation with God. And even now, because even now we are under his reign, you possess the blessings that are enjoyed also by the saints in heaven. Forgiveness, baptism into Christ, fellowship with Christ, the nourishment of word and sacrament, the power of the Holy Spirit for faith and life. When we put all that together, that helps us understand these first three Beatitudes. The poor in spirit are blessed because the reign of heaven is theirs. The people who are mourning are blessed because they will be comforted. The lowly are blessed because they will inherit the earth. Now, first of all, we call them the Beatitudes because that's the Latin word for blessed are they. Okay? But the meaning of blessed is more than just the idea that you've been given a blessing. We've been blessed every day in all kinds of ways. But this means especially fortunate and happy as the result of divine favor. So think about what that means. It means you have the kind of blessing you didn't deserve. You have the kind of blessing that God intended to give you just because he is good, not because you are, just because he's loving, not because you're lovable. It's truly a blessing, a gift. The poor in spirit, well, those are those the ones that don't deserve the gift, right? Don't deserve the blessing, just for starters. The poor in spirit are those who are spiritually dead and without anything needed for heaven. And we receive God's gift of grace and favor, and we receive the gift of heaven itself. So the poor in spirit are blessed because you've been given heaven. How poor could you possibly be other than to be without it? And how rich can you be other than to have it? This is the first declaration of blessing, and it defines those who are sitting before Jesus' disciples on that mountaintop, and it defines you and me as saints. And that gift comes wherever God's word, law, and gospel is proclaimed. Repent and believe the good news. Realize how poor you are. And look, I'm giving you what you need. Because by faith, we receive this blessing. We who didn't even know what we needed by faith have been given the kingdom of heaven. We who are sinners by nature have been given holiness and have been made saints. Once we come to know that the kingdom of heaven is ours as Christians, that puts us into this kind of, we call it the already now, but not yet mode of the Christian life. Part of the Christian life is mourning over the brokenness of this world. I have heaven, you have heaven, but look around us, what a mess. How sad that there are so many who live in such abject spiritual poverty. And yet we have heaven now. But not yet, in a sense, because we still live where there is mourning, where there is trouble, there is trial, as we just sang. And we look forward to heaven. And Jesus, who's foreseen all this, he promises that you who mourn over the troubles and trials of this world, also in your life, he's telling you what lies ahead. You will be comforted. Every good thing here will see a greater fulfillment in heaven. Every sorrow in this world will be overwhelmed by the comfort of heaven. Every grief or pain that we face now will be forgotten in the bliss of heaven. Comforted. This isn't just somebody coming up and patting you on the shoulder and saying, "There, there now." The comfort that you are given turns from darkness to light, from sadness to joy, from sorrow to rejoicing. In the meantime, though, as the psalmist says, we may see the wicked prosper, and we may see the righteous suffer. And that means that the saints are lowly, as the world counts lowliness, in the sense of being powerless in this world. But in the new heaven that will come on that last day, everything's going to be reversed, like it says in Psalm 37. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men carry out their wicked schemes. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the lowly will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace. Now notice, although there's going to be plenty of admonition in this sermon here, there isn't an admonition to us to be poor in order to gain heaven, or to mourn in order to be comforted, or to be lowly in order to inherit the earth. Our poverty, our sadness, our lowliness, these are all states in which we're found in this world. And already Christ, sitting on the mountain, nourished his disciples, and today he nourishes us here with word and sacrament. So he's brought the remedy for our poverty, our sadness, and our lowliness. Things changed. Things have changed as a result of your being blessed. Things have changed absolutely. You now have gone from the kingdom of death and the devil to the kingdom of life and of God. We can't help but be changed, being part of the kingdom of God, both for our own sakes and because Jesus is, after all, the King of Kings. We are changed because, well, we're changed, and we're also changed because he touches our lives every day and makes a difference in our lives. He rules in such a way as to shape us to his will and to make us instruments to accomplish his goodwill in the world. And so he promises, the people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness are blessed because they will be satisfied. The merciful are blessed because they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart are blessed because they will see God. The peacemakers are blessed because they will be called sons of God. And that's who you are. Hungry for righteousness, merciful, pure, peacemakers. That's what you've been changed into. Jesus has come into this world and he's created people who actually desire righteousness, who are merciful, who look at the person next to them and see someone who is the object of God's love. And therefore, we have every reason to be merciful to them ourselves. He's created a people like us who bring peace. And even now, while the world, and that includes the apostate churches out there, the world is focused on what we want and what feels good, Christians ask what's right and what's good. Have you noticed in the world in which we live that there's a huge debate, there's a huge conflict going on in this world between those who want to do what they want to do and those who want to do what's right? There are those who desire righteousness. No, we're not perfect in our own lives, but we know what righteousness is and we seek it. So Christians ask for what is right and what is good. While the world, without mercy, kills the unborn by the millions, God's people speak of mercy also to those who struggle in life and have done wrong. And while the great conflicts in the world, think about it, they're based on grudges. They're based on remembrance of past wrongs. God's people speak of peace. They speak of forgiving past injustices. And we reach out in mercy to those among us who are in great need. I'm not going to say they deserve it because none of us do. And we forgive hurts toward us for the sake of him who has forgiven us. This is absolutely contrary to the spirit of the age in which we live that pits black against white and poor against rich and women against men. And rather than seeking peace, foments resentment and envy and hatred. This all serves the devil and death, and it grows as faithlessness darkens the land in which we live. But for saints, there is blessing now. Yeah, not quite like it's going to be yet. But there is blessing now on earth, and there is greater blessing coming in heaven. There are blessings that come because believers care about righteousness. They are a salt and a light in the world and really bring mercy and peace into their lives and the lives of the people they know. And we receive God's merciful forgiveness day after day, even as we dish it out toward others. Your thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Now, as we do the right thing and struggle to do the right thing, and later, as bearing the righteousness of Christ, you're welcomed into the fellowship of God along with all believers, all saints, from the dawn of time. And in forgiving others, your marriage will last. Your family will hold together. There will be peace with those who have hurt your feelings. In forgiving others, you see, you show mercy and will be shown mercy. Because, again, you look at that person that you're dealing with as one who is beloved of Christ himself. So by faith, then, we live in fullness, not in emptiness, because Christ reigns, and we are part of his reign and of his kingdom. Our lives have meaning and bring light to the world. While these virtues that are beloved by our Savior and blessed by God really should win favor in the world, the fact is that they don't. John says, the darkness hated the light. While we stick up for life, the world characterizes us as oppressors. As we speak of mercy and not grudges, the world seeks vengeance disguised as social justice. And while we put a circle of righteousness or morality around our families and our children and our marriages, condemning fornication, unfaithfulness, and all the vices, the world condemns morality and righteousness as slavery and oppression. And above all, the world in which we live can't stand being offered forgiveness for what they insist is their right. For the Christian, these blessings are now and not yet, because while we possess this morality, this righteousness, this forgiveness, we also live in this broken world so that we can still be a blessing to those who are poor in spirit and are broken, so that they too may be saved. We're not... While we are at odds with the world and we're countercultural, we live at odds not with those we seek to destroy, but with those whom we seek to bring to the love of Christ, those whose poverty we seek to fill up with riches as our own has been filled up. And now Jesus talks not to the they or them, to the hypothetical believer, but to you, you who have come to faith and to know Jesus. He says, the ones who are persecuted because of righteousness are blessed because the reign of heaven is theirs. You are blessed. Whenever people insult you and persecute you and by lying say every kind of evil against you because of me, rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven. For in this way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Where does that point you? Rejoice and exult because we're going to get even. Rejoice and exult because we're going to triumph. Rejoice and exult because in the end, you're going to get yours. None of that's there, is it? Rejoice and exult because your reward is great in heaven. That's our joy. Nobody in this world can give you such a joy. Nobody in this world can give you such riches. Nobody in this world can give you a triumph in which the great triumph is the mercy of God and his grace and forgiveness. The words of Jesus are for you because the kingdom of heaven, the reign of Christ, is yours. The words of Christ are for you, his lambs, his brothers and sisters, his children, his saints. All believers are saints on earth and become saints in heaven because that's where there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness that will not fade away. The saints that spoke the words of promise in the past, well, they have that crown of righteousness now. And we have it now, but have yet to hold it in our hands, so to speak. Because of him, now, as saints, we live as light in the world, in the sure and certain hope of a blessed and happy eternity with all the saints who now rest from their labors. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.